It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It is the preparation day, Friday, the 14th, and we're so glad to be with you this morning. We're excited about what God is going to teach us today. We are going to have a full hour of worship because our topic is such that it requires that, and we'll resume our normal worship and wellness program on as we move forward, okay? So we're going to be talking about Joseph in Egypt, how to master the greatest trial of your life, how to master the greatest trial of your life. Yes, you can, friends. We're all going to have it, and the greatest trial is actually coming up on everybody in the future. But prior to that, all of us can point to some great trial. I can point to one. We're going to talk about that today. By the grace of God, it's time now to have our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together to have worship. And now we pray for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know. As we open up your word, we ask that you would anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, help us, Lord, to grow closer to you as we grow in grace and in wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, let's get right into our message. We will be starting with Genesis 39. And we'll be going through at least three chapters, or at least the majority of three chapters. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for bringing us today. Dear Father, you brought us to today because you have a great plan for our lives. And even though that plan will include adversity, it will be a plan where you will triumph and we will triumph in the end. And truth will triumph in the end. Help us to place ourselves in your hands so much so that no matter what you allow to come our way, we will understand that it is to make us stronger. Guide us and help us to surrender our hearts to you, to say, come what may, whatever you bring, I will not let it take me from you. Thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there's a beautiful commentary on the story of Joseph in a book called Patriarchs and Prophets. I highly recommend that you read it. And in that commentary, it talks about what had to be going through Joseph's mind as he was pulled out of that pit and taken to Egypt. The Bible doesn't give a lot of information of his journey. But I am telling you, brothers and sisters, he had to make a decision, just like we all do. Am I going to follow God all the way, or am I just going to be depressed and angry with God and upset because things don't go my way, so on and so forth? Let me just adjust this lighting here. Okay, we'll go back down. There we go. Okay. So we have to, all of us have this decision to make. Because the Bible doesn't say bad things won't happen to good people. He said when we surrender to him, he will be with us in every trial, and every trial he allows is for his glory, because it's just one more way he's going to triumph over the devil. So now you've got a trial in your life, and God wants to use it as one more proof that he's stronger than the devil. So are you going to help God's cause and be faithful and trust him through this and in this, or are you going to give the enemy glory? That's what we have to determine today. Let's read. Genesis 39 is where we start. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and I want you to keep these words in mind, captain of the guard. What are those four words? Captain of the guard. So who was Pharaoh? Sorry, who was Potiphar? Captain of the guard. Keep in mind, you're going to see it later. An Egyptian bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So rather than him slaving in a field or, you know, chopping wood or, you know, chiseling brick, you know, God showed him favor in that Potiphar, captain of the guard, bought him and brought him to his house. That was God. Whatever happens to you is God. Brothers and sisters, we think bad things that happen to us are not. God even allows things so he can get the glory. He might allow you to get pulled over. You know, I used to get pulled over all the time because we were in a area where there was racial profiling. I want to be honest with you. But instead of complaining about racial profiling, guess what? Anytime God brings somebody into your sphere, it is so you can witness to them. I enjoyed witnessing to them. So if I was pulled over, that was another opportunity to witness, brothers and sisters. I didn't have to yell at the cops and claim that they're being prejudiced and all this kind of stuff. They were just pulling me over. They're going to pull you over. And then, sir, I'm not so sure if you – we just want to make sure you kind of changed lanes rather quickly back there. It's just something silly, you know. And they got to hear about Jesus. They got to hear about the health message. They got to have me asking them questions about what they're eating on the police force, because and if they have any health problems that we can help them with. You know, if they're not really interested in changing, they're going to let you go so fast. Oh, my brothers and sisters, everything God brings to us, there's a reason for it, and God is going to get glory in it. We are here to save souls. And he allows things to happen to us so that he can use us for his glory. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. When you give your heart to God, God allows what you do to prosper. I don't care if you're a street sweeper, you're a counselor, you're a teacher, you're a pastor, you're an accountant, you're a lawyer, it doesn't matter. When you give your heart to God, things you do will prosper. Now, we go through trials. I'm not suggesting that there aren't trials, but if it just always is a trial, brothers and sisters, there's something you haven't surrendered to God, because he will bless your hands because you're one of his. So if you have to do what you do, you will be blessed. So just ask God, Lord, is there anything that I'm doing that does not please you? Because he can't bless mess, so to speak. It's just a phrase. So you want him to bless you, friends. I don't care what circumstance you're in. I don't care what kind of job you have. I don't care what kind of I mean, you know, you can't, you know, whether you're in a high position or a low position, give your heart to God. Tell him, Lord, I want you to be with me. And if you will be with me, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay with you, period. He's going to be with you. Just, Lord, bless me. Because God will do it. He promised. Let's read on. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. See, that's what you need. You don't need a whole lot of money. You just need the Lord with you. Okay? And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. You see, Joseph was, just to give you some practical understanding of this, sometimes what we do, we pray as though everything depends on God, and then we're not diligent. We might be late for work. We might talk on the phone a lot instead of working. We might just not do our best. See, that's what I'm talking about. Joseph put his hand to the plow, and he did his very best, but he prayed every day. Lord, please bless the work of my hands. He prayed throughout the day. He prayed about things that would happen to him. In all his ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all his ways, he acknowledged God. Lord, how do I handle this? How do I do this? How do I handle this circumstance? How do I bless? I need you to bless me with this. You know, he was constantly seeking to improve, brothers and sisters, constantly seeking to get better organized, constantly seeking to improve, as they say in the world, improve his game, okay? But it was not for his own glory, and he wasn't competitive. I'm going to do it better than you. No, he wanted God to be glorified. And so I just want to take some time to talk about the fact that what made Joseph successful was not just his prayers and his spiritual walk. It was the fact that he put his heart into the work to do all things as though he was doing it for God. And if we have the same mindset, God will bless us, brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes we don't pay our tithes. Sometimes we might be dibbling and dabbling in something that we ought not be dibbling and dabbling with, and we're bringing a curse upon us, and God can't bless. So, brothers and sisters, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? The Bible says sin. So you want God to bless you, friends. So do all that he asks you to do. And you can't even do that without his strength, okay? So let's move forward. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Now let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This is for men and women. It's spoken more of women. Does God love a attractive woman more than he loves an unattractive woman? Absolutely not. Does God love a handsome man more than one who's not so handsome by most people's standards? Does he love one more? Absolutely not. Everything that you have that could help you move forward in life, consider it a gift. So if you look better than me, you should consider that a gift. Not that, oh, I look better than Shallow, but you should say, if you recognize when you look in the mirror that people would say you're handsome or that you're beautiful or you're attractive, that is a gift. People don't think about that. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is full of descriptions of how people looked, if they were fair, because it's one of the gifts, all right? When I say a gift, I'm not calling it an official gift of the Spirit, okay? That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that the Bible said Sarah was fair, and the Bible gave stories that tested, showed that Abraham's faith was tested because Sarah was fair, okay? The Bible says that Rebecca was fair. The Bible says that Joseph was goodly. The Bible says that Rachel was fair. The Bible mentions that Leah was not so fair, okay? So, and it teaches lessons. She wasn't so fair, so she actually resorted to trickery with her father Laban to become Jacob's wife, and she did not have the happiest life. If she had said, no, Daddy, I'm not going to sleep with him. He worked for Rachel. She would have had a happy life. God would have blessed her with a husband, and she would have been blessed with a husband, and he would have only had one wife, okay? Because that's all Jacob wanted. He didn't want Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpah, I think the other one was. He just wanted Rachel. He got tricked. And he really should have said, no, I'm not going to take the other one. That's what he should have said. But, you know, that's his father-in-law. That was the custom of the day. So, you know, that was the thing. But my point being made, brothers and sisters, is that God mentions these things because God is real. And God is real, and he wants to understand that he understands human nature. And in the human nature of the moment, Joseph was a handsome fella, and we're going to see what happened next. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Oh, brothers and sisters, many a man wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror, and just starts practicing the line that he's going to use, starts practicing how he can manipulate a situation, and maybe he can rent a car that's a Lamborghini for a day so he can impress a girl, so he can go to sleep with her. Many a man contrives and connives about what to say, what to do. Many a woman looks up in the mirror and looks at her top and pulls it down so more and more and more cleavage is showing so she can impress somebody at work. Oh, my brothers and sisters, shame on us because many of us claim to be Christians, okay? And so here we have it, brothers and sisters, the story of Joseph. God bless Joseph. What was Joseph doing? Was Joseph trying to use his looks? No, we're going to see what happened. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. This is every worldly man's dream. Now, please understand, we don't know what Potiphar's wife looked like, but Potiphar was captain of the guard, so he had a high-ranking position. And when you have a high-ranking position, there will be men/or women that will love to marry you, and when you aren't converted, and Potiphar wasn't converted, you know you got the pick of the there's a phrase I can't think of it, but you got the pick of the litter, so to speak. I'm not trying to use the word litter in a negative sense, but you understand what I'm saying. You can find he's prettier than her. I mean, you could just you could pick. So most likely she was an attractive woman. Okay. So if Joseph was like some of us, brothers and sisters, he's like, whew, Potiphar, I got all this power. He doesn't even know how much money he has. I know how much money he has. He left everything to me, and I get his own wife. Woo-wee! And she's not going to tell because, obviously, you know, she doesn't want to, you know, whatever, lose him and that kind of thing. It's every worldly man's dream Joseph had. And a lot of times, brothers and sisters, when these things happen, these temptations come, we fall into them. And therefore, God is trying to tell us, brothers and sisters, that we are not to fall under temptation. I don't care how much it is. That's why you have to keep your mind on the Lord. Now, let me say this to you, brothers and sisters, to those who can say that from birth to death, they've never violated the seventh commandment, praise God. God for you. We praise God for you. I'm not joking. I'm serious. I'm serious. It's a blessing. Praise God for that example. But I'm going to tell you something. Because appetite and passion are the most powerful temptations that Satan has, because they just deal with our inner selves and desires, and they please us, okay? Very few people can say that they've never, that there are very few people can say that they've always eaten the right thing, and very few people can say that they have never, ever violated the seventh commandment. If you can, praise God, okay? But Joseph could, at least as far as we know, and we thank God for that. So praise God for you, but I'm here to tell you, most people can't say that. That being said, we can learn from mistakes that we've made, brothers and sisters. And that's what the gospel is all about. You see, God is not God because he makes good things better. God is God because he can even take mistakes that we've made, and then we can help the younger generation because we can tell them, hey, watch out for this, watch out for that, be careful of this. We can give them wisdom and guidance because we've been there, we've done that. And because you've done that, you can actually see the devil approaching much faster than you could when you were young and dumb. Can we say amen? Okay? And so, and it even strengthens you because you went through it, you went through the pain, you went through whatever often comes from that type of relationship. There's all kinds of pitfalls that come when we don't do it God's way. And so, my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that even though you might not be able to say that you did what Joseph did, you can do what Joseph did moving forward. Can we say amen? But he refused and said unto his master's wife, listen to what his response was. Behold, my master, what is not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So he mentioned, look at what your husband has given me. He hasn't kept anything from me. He's not, I know everything about him. I run the house. The only thing he has kept from me is his wife. He didn't say, how can I sin against Potiphar? He said, how then can I sin against God? You see, we don't want to share our faith in the workplace. We don't want people to know that we serve God. Brothers and sisters, we're living in tough times. We're living in times where if a she is really a he, you're required by the job to call him a he, him a her, okay? And vice versa. Brothers and sisters, you need to ask for deliverance from that job. I'll just leave it between you and the Holy Ghost whether you should call him her or her him. Now, I have walked into places and I knew it was a man, and I knew, but he was dressed like a woman. He was dressed like a woman. And I said, hey, what's your name? And he gave me, let's say, Paulette, but it was probably, he started off as Paul. You tell me your name's Paulette? Who am I to just go in a restaurant? Your name's not Paulette. That's a woman's name, and you a man. What? That's ridiculous. Okay, Paulette. Hey, how are you doing today? Here's a track. You know, I want to talk, you know, here's something. Hey, Paulette, let me talk to you about your health, you know, if God needs you to do that. Let me share some with you about our ministry, you know. I know it's a man, but he said his name was Paulette. You don't have to go into a big thing. Paulette, okay, no problem. But when I describe him to her, if I describe him, I'm not going to say that woman in there. Now, I might say the individual who calls named Paulette, but I'm not going to say him. I'm not going to refer to him as a her or her as a him because I have to honor God. You see, the Bible tells me that before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth, this is Jeremiah 1:5, I ordained thee a prophet, that's a male, because there were prophetesses, okay? I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet before you even came forth. So God knows your gender before you come forth. He even knows your calling in life before you come forth, brothers and sisters. And now I've said this before, but let me even embellish it with a little physiology. When your father came into your mother and released sperm, there were approximately 500 million sperm that your father released in your mother. So if you are wondering whether you were a mistake, you're not a mistake. God had 500 million other opportunities. You say, all right, it doesn't matter. It would have still been me. No, it wouldn't have. Because when you have fraternal twins, one could be a boy, one could be a girl. What is happening in a woman's body when you have a fraternal twin? Well, the mother releases one egg a month from her store in her ovaries. If something happens and she happens to release two, then two get fertilized, and you will see they could look totally different. One can be tall, one can be short, one can be light-skinned, one can be dark, one could be a boy, one could be a girl, okay? Fraternal twins often don't have share any resemblance. I know some fraternal twins, and one is short, one is tall. I mean, they don't really favor each other, really. And so that means every sperm and every egg would be a different person, okay? So that's your proof, brothers and sisters. The fact is that God had, and when you have identical twins, the reason why they look alike is that there's only one egg, but as it gets penetrated by the sperm, instead of just one becoming two connected, they disconnect, and then the each one starts dividing and growing. So it's the exact same DNA in both. So that's why they look the same. But every sperm, brothers and sisters, could produce a different person. And every egg could produce a different person. So my point being made is God had 500 million opportunities to make you somebody else. Now let's go into this, look at it this way. Assuming, because the female egg has a Y chromosome, and the sperm either has an X or a Y. So let's just assume, because we don't know this, let's assume that out of 500 million sperm, 250 million were X's and 250 million were Y's. God had 250 million opportunities to make you a boy if you're a girl. He had 250 million opportunities to make you a girl if you're a boy, okay? So you can't say, well, you can say it because you're deceived. I just feel like a girl. I just feel like a boy. No, you've been exposed to certain things, and you've been TV and life and children and other things. Instead of, you know, you stand in the word and all of that, you have sometimes it's hormonal. We have found that they used to at least put hormones in baby food, brothers and sisters. And I've talked to some experts, doctors, that say that in that growth stage, as a baby is as the infant is growing, you know, as it's born, the born infant is growing, that that's a very volatile time. And that when you start introducing hormones, that it can affect permanently the hormonal structure. So what happens is, we were feeding some of our children that baby food laced with those hormones, and it was causing some of the boys to, when they got older, to feel like they're girls, and some of the girls maybe to feel like they're boys, okay? So mankind is the problem, brothers and sisters. Mankind is the problem, not God, okay? So I just want to bring that out, that there's several causes, but I don't care if baby food made me feel like a girl. If God says I'm a boy, I accept that by faith, and then he will give me boy feelings. They will come in due time. That's what faith is all about. Let's keep reading. So Joseph said, how can I sin against God? Brothers and sisters, no matter what circumstance you're in, if you have a mindset that no matter what, you cannot sin against God, you are promised success. God is going to be with you. Now, that doesn't mean you might not go through some trials, but God is going to be with you. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. So the devil didn't just send the temptation one time. The devil just kept that temptation coming day after day after day. Lie with me, lie with me. Brothers and sisters, don't you think she might have flashed some of her body parts to him and wore something seductive when she said what she said? Don't you think for one minute that these things didn't happen, okay? And Joseph was normal. He was not abnormal. Later on in life, he got him a wife. So he enjoyed companionship and all the blessings that marriage can bring, okay? He was not abnormal. He was just godly. And that's what we want to be, my friends. We can be. We can give our hearts to God, and he will make us successful. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, some of us might say, no, I'm not into that. But then when the temptation comes and somebody grabs you, we're not willing to run. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." What we do is we start talking to the devil. Now, you know, we get all namby-pamby. We enjoy what we're feeling now, and what's your father gonna think? What's your husband gonna think? What's your wife gonna think? You know, don't ask what the wife's gonna think. Get out of there. And that's what we don't do. We don't take the way of escape. We start parlaying. That's why we got to get it right in our minds, brothers and sisters. We should be determined in our minds to be faithful. And if you're not, get on your knees until you have that determination, my friend, because God will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to handle it. Joseph knew that if he stayed, he was going to mess up, so he got out of there. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got out. And she laid up his garment by her until the Lord came home." Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. He's a slave. You mean to tell me, think of slavery. We've had African slavery in our country. What do you think would happen if an African slave went and snuck in the master's house and tried to rape his wife? What do you think would happen, friends? You think that slave would be alive today? Absolutely not, friends. Absolutely not. What do you think would happen in the Holocaust if one of the people in the Auschwitz and these other prison camps, one of the men, took hold of a female guard and tried to rape her? What do you think would happen to him, brothers and sisters? Will you think he'd be alive? Absolutely not. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that Potiphar did not believe his wife. It's just that he was too weak and namby-pamby and proud to do the right thing. You're going to run into people like that, brothers and sisters. You're going to run into people that will not take a stand for truth because they don't want to lose something. They will not take a stand when they ought to take a stand. And guess what's going to happen? It's going to come back to haunt them and bite them. If he had said, done the right thing and brought Joseph in and got Joseph's side of the story, got her side of the story, and found out that she had been pulling on him to sleep with him day after day after day, he would have said to her, "Woman, you need to, I don't want to see this again." He would have rebuked his wife and said, "I tell you what, when Joseph comes in this house, I want you out of the house." You see, now people say, "Well, but that's his wife." Yes, but here's the thing. You cannot violate principle for your wife. You cannot violate principles for your husband. Now, when you're not violating principles, your wife and your husband are the first priority of your life outside of serving God. But when it comes to violating principles, you can't fire somebody who didn't do anything wrong. If you have a business and your wife doesn't like something, you can't fire them. Now, if it just is crazy, you know, hey, give them, listen, it's just not working, and you decide to do something for the betterment of everybody, and you're going to treat that person, you're going to give them some severance or something like that. You know, maybe there's some room for looking at something like that. I don't know. But the point I'm making is the world plays favorites, brothers and sisters. The world is into politics. You rub my back, I'll rub yours type stuff, you know. And we can't be like that as Christians. We cannot be respecters of persons in the Christian walk. We have to be fair to everyone. We have to be righteous, brothers and sisters. And so that's what we have to understand. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, after this manner did the servant unto me, that his wrath was kindled. Now it says his wrath was kindled. I'm sure he was angry. But brothers and sisters, if he really thought that Joseph was guilty, Joseph would have died. He didn't believe that woman. He was mad because now he lost his best asset in his house. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now, remember, what was the four words? Captain of the guard. That's who Potiphar was, captain of the guard. But watch this. But the Lord was with Joseph. Brothers and sisters, there is no place you can be where God is not. If it's prison, God is there. If it's a palace, God is there. If it's on the back of a trash truck, God is there. If it's in an office, a law office, God is there. If you want to be with God, he will be with you. And the world will see that God is with you. I don't care where you are. So stop worrying about where you might be and just do what God would have you to do and let him worry about that, my friend. We have forgotten that we are not promised that we will not be persecuted. And when you are lied on, that's a type of persecution. The Bible tells us, guess what? When you go back and look at the dark ages, a whole lot of God's people went to jail. But guess what? The truth triumphed, and the Roman Catholic Church was put to shame and received a deadly wound because of the faithfulness of the people. And when God saw that it wasn't supposed, he didn't want one of his servants to be in prison, God stepped in and said, no, that's not going to happen with this one, because he will glorify me more out of prison than he will in prison. Martin Luther is an example of that, brothers and sisters. He was actually kidnapped by his friends so the Roman Catholic Church could not kidnap him because they were going to kill him. Okay? So I'm here to tell you, God is in control. Prisons aren't stronger than God. Nobody's stronger than God, friends. That's why God wants us to build our faith by staying in his word. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Brothers and sisters, he wasn't abused in the prison. He was in charge of the prison. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his head, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph made the prison prosper. Maybe he introduced a vegan diet, a plant-based diet into the prison, and the diseases of the prisoners went away. I don't know what he did. I don't know. But I know that God prospered the prison. How are you going to prosper a prison? God can prosper anything he wants to prosper, brothers and sisters, because his servant was there. Look at chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he, listen carefully, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Brothers and sisters, the Bible doesn't give all the detail. It says Potiphar was captain of the guard. And when Pharaoh had a problem and it was the royal prison, that's what Potiphar was in charge of. So what Potiphar was doing, brothers and sisters, he wasn't converted, but he said, man, if you can't run my house, you can at least run my prison. He put Joseph in charge of his responsibility of the prison. The Bible says that Pharaoh sent his prisoners to the captain of the guard. That was Potiphar. See, the Bible is full of treasure, brothers and sisters, and if we don't dig for it, we'll miss it. Into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound, Potiphar still was being blessed, just not in the way he wanted to be blessed. He knew Joseph was innocent, but he did not have the courage to stand up against his wife for truth, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you that the Bible says, the captain of the guard. I'll read it again. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard. That's where Joseph went, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard, and that's who Potiphar was, charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. You see, let me tell you something. God is God of providence. He opens doors. He sees way in the future. And he saw way in the future that Joseph was going to be in prison. So he said, okay, I'm going to get these guys, I'm going to make them mess up with Pharaoh, or that Pharaoh think they mess up with him, and I'm going to have these guys actually put in prison, and I'm going to wait until they're in prison, and then I'm going to give them dreams. Only God could set that up. God had that whole thing set up. Brothers and sisters, when you serve God, he's got your whole life set up. He's got you set up. You don't know what he's doing. He's got things, he's got it for you 10 years in advance. He's already got it set up for you. You know that if we live for him, he's already got our life made, if that is his will for you, already set up. You need to make sure you are walking in the way of the Lord, and you need to make sure that you follow that principle that says, he that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart, you see. And so you need to know that, because, my brothers and sisters, it may not be who you think it is. You might be longing that it's this person or longing that it's that person. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Man, God's thinking is not like our thinking. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways than your ways. Okay? And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly this day or today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded. Their blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. Three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. God had them tell Joseph these dreams because he was doing something in Joseph's life. And he didn't just do something in Joseph's life. He's trying to save the world because he's going to bring a famine, and Joseph knows what to do to save the world from the famine when God shows him what to do. But notice what he says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. You see, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We are to watch for indications of providence. An indication of providence is him getting out of jail. That's positive providence. An indication of providence is he now knows from the dream that somebody's going to be able to go to Pharaoh himself, and Pharaoh has authority to get him out of jail. So Joseph sees this as an indication of providence. So he acts upon it and he says, hey, when you go back, say something kind because I'm in here unjustly. That's the wise thing to do. We're going to see that it didn't happen right away. You see, sometimes we want the trial to go away yesterday. The trial doesn't go away right away. because God is trying to do something to strengthen us and make us a better Christian, brothers. We have to go through some things, and those things that we go through help us to have better patience and help us to have better cleanliness and thoroughness and whatever. You know, if you've got a flaw in your character, we need to overcome them. God is not going to change you when you go to heaven, brothers and sisters. If you've got a flaw in your character, God is not going to change you. Let me tell you one of the flaws that I have had by the grace of God. And I'm not saying I'm totally over it, but I grew up in a happy home, and I praise God for that. But I wasn't very organized. You know, mom was a single mom, and so there was no father in the home, and she was doing the best she could. Wonderful mother. Wonderful mother. Just did a wonderful job, I believe, with the help of the Lord in raising her children. But one area where we just, as she's struggling to make a living, so on and so forth, I just didn't get order and organization. And brothers and sisters, but I learned from the Word of God and from His that is a principle of life, that we are to be orderly and organized. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. It's one of the things that I put my mind to do. And I said, Lord, I'm going to be organized. And I work toward it. It's a constant work. Those of you who are naturally organized, you know what I'm talking about. And I've developed systems and these type of things. Used to always lose my keys. No, my keys go in a certain place every night, brothers and sisters. And I have a certain place on me. I kind of hang my keys from some part of my clothing, and therefore, because I have other things I put in my pocket or whatever. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, I don't lose my keys anymore like I used to because I'm organized. You see some bookcases behind me. This side of the bookcases are, let's see, what are you seeing? Because it's actually, yeah, okay. So this side of the bookcase is my health books, and this side of the bookcase is my spiritual books. Now, I'm still organizing my books, so some things aren't in the shelves yet. But the point being made is that I have a place, you know, for everything, and I try to keep everything in its place. And I have other bookcases that I don't need for books, and so I organize my things that I deal with, and I have these little compartments. I'm tempted to show them to you, but I'm not going to do that. But the bottom line is God showed me an inexpensive way that looks nice, got some black, but they're cardboard. They're not expensive, little file, vertical file folders, and they're just in all my bookcases, and I have things where they ought to be. So if I need something, I can just go right to there and get it out. So, my friends, I'm here to tell you that we can have flaws in our character, and God is wanting to help us overcome the flaws in our character. And when we overcome the flaws in our character, we become more useful to God. And the story of Joseph teaches us he put his heart into everything, and he was organized because he put his heart into it, brothers and sisters. It wasn't just like he just was automatically that way. He put his mind to do his best. The Lord impressed him to develop systems, and those systems were blessed as he was in Potiphar's house and as he went into the prison. So watch this. He asks, as he sees an indication of providence, that the butler remember him. Let's see what happened. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. The birds did eat them out of the basket up on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. So one got a good answer to his dream, one got a bad answer, but these were the truths. How do we know? Let's read on. Verse 20 says, and it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Brothers and sisters, you can do a lot for people, and you can give your heart, soul, and body. You can even do a lot of things for people. There are just some selfish people in the world that will not appreciate you and will not remember you. But they are not God. And that is what we will, that's where we will leave it today, because we need to understand God is greater than forgetful people. And sometimes if God did not work, you would get a blessing, but you would miss the greater blessing. If he had gone to Pharaoh and Pharaoh had said, okay, yeah, all right, for your sake, he can go ahead and go back to his Hebrew people, the world would not have been saved, because it was Joseph that God used to save the then known world from a famine. Okay? So watch this. It was two more years that he had to stay there. And many of us would say, God has forsaken me. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's things that we need to learn. Maybe there was more patience. Maybe Joseph was still harboring a little resentment, maybe possibly from his brothers. I don't know. But God saw fit to allow Joseph to have that humility that two more years would bring, brothers and sisters. Then he was ready to become the prime minister, the second in command of the greatest nation in the world, from slavery to life. Where else can you read in a book the story of a spoiled child that went from a spoiled child to a slave to an exalted position in Pharaoh, in one of Pharaoh's offices, with then a life imprisonment sentence, and then become just like you were, as it were, the president of the United States? Where else can you read a story like that? Friends, don't tell me the Bible is boring. No, we just need to read it and accept what it says. All right, my friends, God is good. We're not going to have worship today, but we will be back with you on tomorrow morning. And then we also have a service, a church service at 12 on Zoom. So if you don't have that information, please let me know. I will get that to you. Why do we have church on Saturday? It's because in Genesis chapter 2, I'll read it to you, my friends. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So the holy day of the week, the day of worship, the day where we focus on God, the day that is sanctified and made holy, is not Sunday, friends. That was chosen by the Roman Catholic Church many years after. But God's people always worshiped him on the day that he set aside and sanctified, which was Saturday. It is not Jewish. Adam and Eve were not Jews, okay? It was just that the Jewish people had the commission to introduce Christ later on into the world. So God chose them as his chosen people. And instead of introducing Christ, they killed him. Therefore, the gospel went to the Gentiles, and the Jewish people no longer are favored in any way except that any Jewish person can be a Christian. Okay, just like a Gentile can be a Christian. But that's why we do it, friends. We are not concerned about being popular in the world. We want to follow Christ. If I was concerned about being popular, I would not be a medical missionary. What we do is not popular. But it works. It reverses diabetes. It reverses hypertension. It reverses cancer, if God chooses to reverse it. Oh, my brothers and sisters, It's not about being popular. I'm not concerned about being popular. I want to be in God's perfect will. How about you? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for this day. We ask for you to bless us today on this preparation day as we prepare for the Sabbath. May your Holy Spirit lead and guide us, and we thank you in Jesus' name for all you've done. Amen. All right, my friends, we've got a few minutes before the top of the hour. We've got about 5 minutes. Roll call. We've got South Carolina. We've got Brother Raymond, not sure where he is. We've got Virginia on the line. We've got a dear sister used to live in Maryland. I'm not so sure where she is today. We've got a brother Roland. I'm not sure where he lives, but we've got Georgia on the line. We've got North Carolina on Facebook. We've got Georgia on Facebook. We've got the country of Kenya in Africa. And my dear brother Carl, I'm not so sure where he's from. To the call, I would say we have Ohio and Ohio. We have Maryland. We have Pennsylvania. It's nice to have another Pennsylvanian on the line. Praise God. We have, because we're in Pennsylvania, we have Maryland. We have Delaware again. So 3 Delawares today. We've got Ohio again. We've got Iowa. We've got Oklahoma. And we have Georgia. Friends, if anyone has a comment or question, please press *6. We've got Sister Donna on the line. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Donna.
Good morning. Good morning to you, and happy Preparation Day, and to everyone on the line. You know, that what you said about, I'm sorry?
I said amen.
What you said about medical missionaries and not being popular and not seeking popularity, that was golden. That was good godly wisdom, and I thank you for sharing that, because a lot of people don't understand that what we do for the love of Christ, you know, in attending to the children of God. And since the world didn't love Jesus, it won't love us. It doesn't matter what we're doing if we are helping people. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right, sister. So, amen.
And I have listened to some people, you know, talk about themselves doing it, and they just have the wrong attitude, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not about you and your pride, you know. But anyway, I wanted to thank you, you know, for sharing your wisdom, because a lot of people don't understand this, but I do, and I'm glad you do, and I'm glad you're making it known. And I'm trying to make it known too, Pastor, you know, because that's what we do, right?
Amen, amen. We appreciate you, sis. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I want to just thank you again. Make sure you knew that I was appreciative of what you and Sister Maria are doing. And I wanted to ask for your prayer, because today I will be doing something, attending to some business that's very important, and it's going to have a lot to do with my future. So just lift me up in prayer, and my family as well, okay?
Amen. We will definitely keep you in prayer, sister. Praise God. All right, we're going to move Sister. You're welcome. You're welcome. Sister Stella David. Good morning, Sister David.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning. Please pray for me. I just lose my sister, and I'm doing fine. Pray for my family, please. But I'm in New York. I'm not in Maryland.
Okay, so you're in New York. Okay. All right. Yes, we'll keep your prayers. We'll start for your loss.
I buried my sister last Saturday.
Okay.
So I ain't back home yet. I'm supposed to go home next week. But pray for me, please, and give me traveling mercy.
Amen. We will definitely pray for you all in this time of bereavement and for traveling mercy, Sister David. Thanks for coming on today. All right, friends, thank you all for joining us today. May the Lord bless and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. At this time, we'll have our closing prayer by my wife, Undreamed Of, and we wish you God's richest blessing on Preparation Day.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word.
And we ask, Lord, that your spirit will continue to lead us to all truth, to help us to come into an understanding and interpretation of your word as it has been spoken. We ask, Lord, that you will bless the requests that have been submitted and asked. We pray that you would be with Sister Donna as she goes through a personal thing that is going to have a great dependency upon her future. And we ask, Lord, that it would be favorable upon man and upon you by granting her the need that is necessary for her to have. And we pray, Lord, for Sister Davis and her family. We understand there's been a loss in her family. And we ask that every member can be comforted by the embrace of your love and your grace during this time of mourning. We pray for everyone on the line, Lord, who has gone through and is still going through personal trials and tribulations. We ask that you will bless every heart in a special way by giving strength and wisdom, giving us inspiration and encouragement and the ability to be able to endure it all by knowing that we can trust faithfully in you. You are God who tells us we can bring every single problem to you, every single concern that we have, every single burden can be cast upon you, and you will help us to be delivered and free. We thank you for being a God who loves us so much, who has promised to come back and to redeem us as long as we are faithful and as long as we work with you in all the areas of your law. Help us, Lord, to be obedient and to be faithful. Help us during this day of preparation as we later will usher and welcome in your holy Sabbath. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. Happy Preparation Day, and God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord till I die. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord till I die. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord till I die. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord till I die. Till I